You down with OPC? Other people's clutter? If so, stick around for today's episode when I chat with Natalie all about how to deal with clutter when you and someone in your home don't necessarily see eye to eye.
Welcome to Cocktails and Containers, your source for organizing strategies perfectly paired with a cocktail. And now, here's your host, who's outdoorsy in the sense that she loves happy hour on a patio, Christy Lingo.
Hello and welcome to episode 49 of Cocktails and Containers. That's right, everyone. Next week, I will turn the big 5-0 in terms of podcast episodes. And I have got a super special episode planned for you, and I cannot wait to share it with you. But you'll have to wait till next week for that. This week, I am chatting with my first guest from the UK, Natalie Haley. Natalie's mom moved in with them a couple of months ago, and let's just say they don't necessarily see eye to eye when it comes to clutter. Natalie reached out to me for some tips on how she can encourage and help her mom to declutter the home that they're sharing. I figured this was a pretty relatable topic because whether you are dealing with kids clutter or spouse clutter or roommate clutter, there's going to be some tips in here that you can apply to help everyone see eye to eye when it comes to clearing the space. And before we roll into all of that fun, let me introduce myself for those of you who are new to Cocktails and Containers. My name is Christy Lingo. I've been a professional organizer for 10 years in the Central Ohio area. And I am also the mom to two young boys. So I'm a nice balance of being able to problem solve your organizing issues, but I am also struggling with many of the same things in my own home. So I have a lot of empathy for everybody out there. My whole goal with this podcast is to give you actionable steps so you can organize and simplify your family. And to me, when you get organized and when you have a simpler family life, you're able to really do those things that you love and spend more time with the people you love. In fact, my theme for this podcast is do more of what you love with who you love. And that's why we want to get organized. If you want to get in touch with me, or you want a copy of today's cocktail recipes, or you want to listen to any past episodes, you can find the show notes at podcast.simplesolutionsorganizing.com. And for even more organizing tips, you can join me over on Instagram at Christy Lingo, ChristyLingo. You'll get to see some of the projects that I do as a professional organizer and some of the ways that I do what I love with my family. And now, without further ado, let's jump into that chat with Natalie Haley all about dealing with other people's clutter. Natalie Haley, thank you so much for joining me on Cocktails and Containers today. How are you doing?
I'm good. I am delighted to be here today. Absolutely delighted.
This is super fun for me because Natalie had found me actually through another podcast, Detail Therapy with Amy Landino. She had found me on Instagram. We DM'd a little bit and we decided to kind of do a little bit of a podcast swap because Natalie has this great podcast for entrepreneurs called One Hot Thing, right?
Correct. Yes. Yeah.
One Hot Thing. And so we are doing a little bit of a swap. I was on hers talking about how I organize my marketing and social media for my business. And she's on today. And we're going to talk a little bit about dealing with other people's clutter, which I know can be an issue for a lot of people, whether it's your kids or your husband's, or in Natalie's case, her mom that is living with them. So we're going to get into that. But first, as we do always, we're going to talk cocktails. And since Natalie is my first UK guest, and we just finished up the Wimbledon this last weekend, we are going to do the drink of Wimbledon, which is a Pimm's cup. Have you ever actually had a Pimm's cup, Natalie?
I have, yes. I've had a few.
They're quite delightful. And I think, so I was just kind of Googling British summer cocktails, and it really is a great sort of summer cocktail because it's got the fruit in it, a little bit of cucumber, which I loved that little twist in it. And it's light, it's refreshing, just a little bit sweet with the soda in there. So it's a super fun little drink. And for those who don't know what Pimm's is, This is made with Pimm's Number One, which is a gin-based liqueur, and it's got gin and citrus flavors and a little bit of spice to it, and then quinine, which is, for people in the United States who maybe don't know what that is, we usually find it in tonic water. It's sort of that little, I don't want to call it acidic, but there's a definite, it's got a very signature sort of taste to it. So it's going to have a little bit of that. So you're going to start by cutting, and this is for one serving here, but you can also find pitcher versions of a Pimm's cup out there. But this is just going to be for one serving. A half an inch of English cucumber, which are the cucumbers that don't have as many seeds. A half an inch of a lemon wheel, and you're going to muddle that in the bottom of a chilled highball glass, or just, I have just sort of like a tall champagne glass, just anything that's kind of tall is what you want to serve it in. Muddle the cucumber and the lemon in the bottom of the glass, and to that you're going to add 2 ounces of Pimm's Number One, and then 4 ounces of like a lemon lime soda. So 7-Up or Sprite or actually ginger ale, which is what I have used today. I like that little spice in the ginger ale. And you just sort of let all of that mix itself together with the bubbles and the muddled cucumber and lemon, and then serve it with a little bit of a lemon twist. And some recipes out there will also add a little bit of mint or some strawberries. There's a couple different variations, but this was a nice simple version and it's super refreshing. I've never heard of Pimm's. I'm loving this cocktail and it's great for summer. I think it's super refreshing.
Yeah, definitely. It's become like the quintessential drink of choice in summer in the UK. It really, yeah, it is. It's so refreshing.
I love that combination of the cucumber and the lemon together. It's just such a nice, bright flavor on there. So find yourself some Pimm's. If you're not a fan of gin, there are Pimm's Number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6, which are whiskey, brandy, rum, rye, and vodka in that particular order. So if you don't want to try it with the gin, you can always try it with one of the liquors that you like. But cheers. And thank you so much for coming on today, Natalie, and inspiring me to research this traditional British cocktail.
Woohoo!
And you can, of course, find that recipe and any of the cocktail recipes that we do here on Cocktails and Containers by visiting the show notes, which are at podcast.simplesolutionsorganizing.com. But now to dive into other people's clutter, which is why Natalie is here today. So tell me a little bit about yourself, your family, and why you reached out to me for a little help.
So I live with myself and my husband, Steve, and then our two children who are 6 and 7. And just over 2 years ago, we bought, it's a Victorian townhouse, so it's over 3 floors, which needed completely renovating. So it used to be, sounds really random, but obviously, originally it will have been a house, but for the past couple of decades, it had been used as offices for a land and estate agent. So each individual room was somebody's office. So it all needed completely gutting and renovating. And the idea was at that point that the house is big enough. When it's finished, there could be 7 bedrooms in total. So the idea was it was big enough and the layout was such that we could have a separate apartment for my mum. Which was absolutely fine. So when we started doing the renovation, mum actually went off traveling for a few months to Italy, and we didn't get as much, we didn't make as much progress in that time as we thought we might, but with one thing and another. So the situation is now that we have sort of moved, myself and my husband and the kids have sort of moved downstairs gradually as we've done the renovation. So we do now have a separate kitchen, and we are getting to the point where we've got completely separate living areas. But yeah, we had a lot of our furniture and our everything basically all just stored in the one of the ground floor rooms, which is going to be our living room ultimately. So completely full of, you know, sofas, sideboards, everything. And then when mum came back from traveling, all her stuff got moved in. So we just had this one massive room just full. And, you know, you would just walk in there and it was soul destroying because it was just so overwhelming just looking at it. And also various things that you think you're not going to need that you've packed away or stacked under a pile of chairs turns out that you do need, and it's a bit of a pain having to kind of dig through it all. So I would say probably about 8 months ago, we got to the point where we were kind of ready for that room to get sort of cleared out. And as we've kind of moved downstairs in the property, we've moved our furniture out of that storage room into the living areas that are finished and to the bedrooms. But yes, the issue is that whereas I'm very much a doer and I look at things, I'm like, right, I just need to get this sorted. I can't bear looking at it. Let's just get on and do it. It's been now a few months and pretty much, well, a lot of that furniture and clutter and stuff that has moved down into the cellar is all still there. And it's really, really difficult because my mum and I are so different. We've got a very good relationship and we've always got on very well, but we are very different in that sense in that I want to get things done and she's a bit of a procrastinator. So we've got that kind of clash and it's really just, yeah, I reached out to you because I was like, is there any way better that I could manage this situation?
Yeah. And so her apartment is not ready yet, correct? That's why her things are in your sort of living space. Am I understanding that correctly?
Well, okay. So that's probably say 30% of it. So yeah, in say 2 or 3 weeks when her sort of apartment is finished, you know, another chunk of the problem will be solved. However, there's still so much furniture and belongings that, you know, she doesn't want in the apartment. And she has had the offer of some storage space to put it into, but it's just not made its way there yet.
Okay, good. So that gives me a lot of good information about what you have going on here. And so, and we kind of have an idea because my next question for you was going to be, what is the timeline on this? So you said you've got 2 to 3 weeks and the things that she absolutely will need and use will sort of be leaving this common area. Is that correct?
That's correct. Yes.
And have you given her any sort of timeline or have you personally thought about any sort of timeline for all of those sort of things that are remaining that she hasn't made decisions about yet?
Well, to give you an idea, I guess, you know, we're going back a good few months. I sort of try and say, so the situation is that we've done this room now and the next job is going to be kind of getting that room clear so that we can work on this bit. But because the building progress didn't go quite as quick as that, it sort of meant that she didn't have to, if that makes sense. So there was a lot, there was a good few months where a lot could have been done, but because it wasn't like the pressure's on, it's got to be done. There wasn't a deadline other than me kind of saying, you know, would it be okay if we start thinking about, and I always offered to help. I would say, John, I can help you move stuff. I can help you sell stuff, whatever it is. But yeah, and it's almost like unless there's a deadline looming, then it just remains there.
Yes. And so that's kind of what I was getting at is, would you feel comfortable setting a hard, fast deadline or coming up with something that would be beneficial for you? Like, we need this space for X, so I need it cleared out. Like, if you feel like just putting an arbitrary date on the calendar and being like, could you please have all of this stuff out of here by this date wouldn't be enough. Say, I need this room for something and pick a date and a reason why you need this room or something like that, and sort of giving a timeline, because like you said, she is good if she knows that something is going to happen in that space and that you're going to need that space for something, or that there is a sort of deadline looming. And a lot of people, I find with a lot of clients, like they will have a room in their house that they don't need until the guest bedroom they need when somebody is coming to visit, or the living room or dining room they need because they're having a dinner party or somebody over for dinner. And because they have that deadline, because they have that need for that space, it's that motivation that they need to actually make progress on the clutter that they have. So just start sort of milling around and thinking, is there some sort of way you can either just present her with a date, like I would like to have this room cleared by this date, or, you know, come up with something, you know, do you have a kid's birthday party coming up? Do you have the holidays coming up? You know, it sounds like it's quite a bit of stuff. So is there a holiday coming up that like you would like to have host some sort of party or gathering, or even just for the holidays, I'd really like to be able to use this space to decorate and have, you know, the family holidays in this room. So we really need to start working to get this space cleared in order to do that, and sort of presenting her with a deadline.
I think that's kind of where I struggle, because if there is an actual deadline, so for example, as part of her moving into that separate apartment, it involves moving from one bedroom to the other, and the bedroom that she's currently in is going to be our spare room. And next weekend, we have actually got two families coming to stay with us, all the children. So, like, you know, that provided actually a really handy deadline, because I was like, you know, we will need that bedroom. And that conversation went absolutely fine. But it's things like, it's when there isn't actually an actual deadline, when there isn't anybody coming to stay, it's not Christmas or whatever else. For example, you know, that all the stuff down in the cellar, at some point we really want to like get all the cellar sorted so that my husband can use it for his workshop, for all of his tools and equipment. But it's when there isn't that actual an event happening, that's when I struggle to be assertive, but I almost feel guilty asking. So yeah, that's the issue that I've got, really.
Well, and what's good is that you've said you've got a good relationship. And so that will make the conversation slightly easier. But, you know, your husband setting up a workshop in the basement is important. That's something that's important to him. And it's important to you that he's happy. And this is his space. And you guys have been working really hard to get this space and make it a home. And so that having your husband be able to set up a space in the workshop, or a workshop in the basement, is a perfectly valid deadline. And I think you need to own that. It doesn't have to be, you know, like I was given the example of the holidays or something like that, but it really doesn't have to be. If you say, Steve would really like to set up his workshop by the time the kids go back to school in the fall, that's a perfectly valid reason. Own that reason, own your ability to control the use of the space. But just, you know, and you sound like you have a great relationship. You can go to her and talk to her like this, but it doesn't have to be like, oh, we're hosting the queen, you know, as the reason for why you need to get something done. If it's important to somebody in your family that you clear that space and give it the actual purpose that you want it to be, that is a perfectly valid reason to say to her, we would really like you to start moving things into the storage because we would really like to set up this workshop for Steve. He'd like to get it set up by the time the kids go back to school or by X date for a reason. And that's, you know, she is living in your home. And I feel like if you sort of have that conversation, you're respecting her and giving her a bit of time, but you're also giving her sort of a deadline that she can work towards to know that she has to get it. Now, sometimes when people are putting things off because they don't want to go through things, it's because they're attached to those things for some reason. So there's usually like three different reasons that I know of that people are sort of having trouble with their clutter. They're either emotionally attached. So these are items that maybe it's taking her a little bit longer to go through because they spark a memory, or they represent a time in her life when she was happy, or that she's moved on past and she's just having trouble with that. So that she might be emotionally attached. She could be financially attached. This is something that I see a lot with my older clients. Is they've spent the money on something and they don't want to get rid of it because they invested money in it and there's still life left in it, or it's still useful, or she thinks it could be useful to you or your family, even though you're like, I don't want anything to do with it. Yeah, you're like, I have enough of my own stuff with my two kids and my husband and myself that I don't need this stuff. But in their head, they need to know that they spent the money on it and it's useful and they're having trouble detaching. And then the other thing is the time. You know, they just don't have the time, or they don't think they have the time because they're thinking of it as one giant project that will take them an entire weekend of sitting in a basement. And who wants to sit in the basement for an entire weekend? They don't think of it in like smaller chunks or smaller areas. You know, they just think of it, I don't have the time to sit down and do it, or they don't want to make the time because they feel like it's just going to take hours or days or weeks to actually complete the project. So in terms of those three, do you see a particular reason that you feel like sticks out of why she's not addressing the things?
Absolutely. I mean, is that all three of them? I was like, yes. It's like, you really know what you're talking about. So the first one, yes, that is part of it in the sense of an emotional attachment, because by no means all of the stuff, but there are some, and that was actually one thing that I wanted to ask you about, because some of the furniture was my grandma's, who passed away a few years ago. And she left it to mum, but it's really difficult because it's not, you know, none of it's not antique furniture. It hasn't got any, you know, monetary value. Charity shops wouldn't take it because it's just not in the best condition. It's not furniture that she wants for herself to use. And I've sort of had that conversation with her. And so I know that. But it's really difficult because I don't want to kind of in any way overstep the mark or upset her by putting any kind of pressure on her to get rid of that. But it's like she knows herself that, yeah, the charity shops aren't an option. And as awful as it is, it's just part of the world that we live in. It's just one of those situations where unfortunately furniture like that ends up in the tip. Yeah. So I think she knows that, but I think it's just taking a long time to kind of get to that point where she's like, right, there is no other solution. So there's definitely an element of that. The second one was, just remind me again, number two.
It's financially attached. She spent money on it and she doesn't want to get rid of it because there's life left in it.
Yeah, so there's a couple of things that I think, yes, definitely, because obviously I think it's a generational thing as well. So my mum comes from it's different, you know, it's very much like you say, you know, you get as much life out of something until it's absolutely, you know, until it's broken or whatever else. So it's definitely an element of that. But also, because she doesn't know how long she'll be staying here, and quite what she's going to do in the longer term, I suppose in the back of her mind she's always thinking, well, might I need this one day, you know, I can't fit it in there now, but you know, so there's that. And then definitely with number three, so whereas I'm quite I've sort of said to you before we came on, I'm very much a doer, and I can't just sit and look at things, I've got to be chipping away at it, and I am quite happy chipping away. So I would probably just go come in from work and do half an hour or do 50 minutes in the morning while the kids are playing or whatever else, and just like you say, keep chipping away at it over time. But mum is very different in the sense that, yes, she does get overwhelmed by things, she does tend to put things off and is probably seeing it as this huge thing and therefore putting it off. So all three.
All great. Well, I will give you a couple of tips in each category then to kind of help you with. So first, with the emotional stuff. So I would say leave grandma's furniture for last.
Mm-hmm.
Tackle the things that you have the least amount of emotional attachment to first. So if there are like boxes of clothing that she hasn't worn for a while, or things that knickknacks or furniture that aren't as attached emotionally, that she isn't struggling as much, don't start with those things. Even though sometimes they're the biggest things, they're the things that's going to make the most impact, it seems like it would make the most sense that they go first. Sometimes if you can kind of ease people into this process of decluttering and start with the things that are a little less intense or meaningful, then they're going to kind of get on a roll and they're going to kind of start to gain confidence or see the results of their efforts. And then they may be more inclined to tackle those more emotional things. So I think, I think starting with the things that might be a little less emotional, you know, if she's got duplicates of kitchen things that, you know, yes, she does need the stuff now, she might need it later, but she doesn't need, you know, 17 stirring spoons. So can you pare that stuff down now?
That is an actual thing.
It's like I saw inside your apartment.
It really is. It's like, you know.
It should make you feel good that you are not alone.
I'm not alone.
You are the rule, not the exception. As far as the things that she's financially attached to, there's a couple different things. So you said you've offered to help her sell things. So that could be something that if she feels like there's still life left in it, it's something that you don't want. It's something she doesn't actually need, but she feels like she could sell it. You know, I know here in the States, the Facebook groups that sell things in the local neighborhoods and things like that are super helpful. And it's kind of like, we have garage sales here. Do you guys do like sales where you like people put stuff out in their driveways and they sell them? I don't know if you guys have
any. I think the probably equivalent would be, we don't so much do that, but we have like car boot sales where people drive their car to a field and sell things out of the boot of their car. So it's probably the equivalent. Yeah.
Something that's similar. So, you know, if there's something like that, you know, and then, like I said, Facebook here does sort of like online versions of that same sort of thing where, you know, you've got two or three things that you want to sell and you take a picture of it and you put a price on it. And if somebody in your local neighborhood wants to come buy it, and then she feels at least she's like getting something out of it, but there's probably not enough there. Like you said, that you could probably just donate it, but sometimes she just has to get past that idea. And maybe it's sort of like a give and take, like, okay, we'll try to sell these 10 things, but then in on the other hand, like, I'll help you sell these, but these things just have to go to the charity shop. These things need to be donated because there's just not a lot of value to them. The other thing to kind of think about when you talk about a storage unit, is she going to be paying for that or are you going to be putting
it? Well, there's no cost involved actually because it's just a friend. So it's ideal.
Oh, okay. Well, that's something that if somebody that's listening is having an issue, a similar issue is, you know, the cost of storage units are kind of expensive here. And if you're having to pay to store something, are you really going to go to that storage unit and pick it up? Like if you're like, oh, I need that thing out of my storage unit. Now you've got involved in your day driving to the place, searching through the storage unit, finding the cost per month of paying to store those things. And are you really ever going to go and get them? And right now in the United States, storage units are the largest growing sector of commercial real estate in the country.
Really?
It's amazing how many storage units are out there that people are just storing things. But then I know people that have storage units that are my clients that never go get those things out of storage. Mm. So, you know, there is a small cost involved for you because there is the idea that she would have to get there to get the stuff out. Mm. And then if eventually that free storage space either isn't big enough or isn't available any longer, you know, you do have to look to and think like this could be an additional cost. And so is storing this item worth the cost of travel to get it, worth the potential cost of travel to store it? And am I really going to go and get these things? And and sort of those are the questions that you have to ask. And if you don't feel comfortable asking them, that's where somebody like a professional organizer can come in handy. And so do you think that she might be open to working with somebody else? Coming from you, even though it's from a place of love and it's from a place of help, if it's a husband-wife relationship or a parent-child relationship, it can seem a little, it can make people put up their walls. It can
make people
crawl in their little turtle shell and not want to deal with things because even if you are presenting it in a very kind way, they feel attacked. And do you feel like you're ever getting that?
Oh, definitely, without a shadow of a doubt. Yeah, like I'm being the uptight one and, you know, when... Yeah, definitely. There's definitely that. And I think it's a little bit like, you know, anything from your closest members of family, sometimes it's hardest to take, isn't it? Whereas, yeah, somebody, a third party or whatever, but quite what form that would come in. I mean, I would definitely be open to some kind of like, some kind of professional, somebody that, you know, somebody like yourself that does that kind of thing. I think that would definitely be effective.
You know, and I am sure that there's somebody in your area. And what that does is she may or he may come in and say the exact same things that you've been saying. But from you, it's a judgment on the things that she's keeping or her ability to go through it. And from an expert, it's a suggestion. It's help. It's something that is going to, so, you know, as you sort of jump into this process, that might be something, even if it's just for a couple of sessions and not, you know, every organizer is a little bit different in how they work with families. You know, sometimes they come in and they work alongside you and they sort of like get your motor running and then allow you to sort of take over the reins and do it yourself. Sometimes they can come in and just sort of like talk your mom through a plan and help her come up with a checklist of things that she needs to do. Or maybe she wants to have somebody working alongside her because she just needs that cheerleader or that motivation or that accountability. I mean, really, that's something that as an organizer, I feel like I'm all of those things. People clean their houses or start to work on their decluttering before I come over because they know I'm coming.
And yeah, definitely.
That's their accountability. So, you know, something, if it does become an issue where you just feel like things aren't getting done, if you feel like, and if you talk to her and feel like she might be open to working with a third party, that is a great option for you out there to sort of help her along in the process, but not sort of damage the relationship that you have with her because she feels judged or attacked or, you know, just like it's just not working with you and her working together. So that's just another option that you could potentially have. So, having talked this through a little bit, given you a couple of ideas, do you have any thoughts on what a good next step might be for you guys?
Well, it all has made so much sense. And I think it's really interesting what you said about, leaving the more sort of the possessions that may have more emotional attachment to last. That makes perfect sense. So, I think the next stage is going to be like seeing what happens in the next kind of month when the kind of separation, kind of the physical separation kind of occurs. And I think you've actually given me a strategy for dealing with the next phase, which is the cellar, because the basement, because now that means I'd never really thought of that. The before I was thinking, well, I'm being a bit kind of whatever by saying, can we get that cleared out? But like you, as you rightly say, having that space for Steve's equipment and his tools is important. So that's kind of made me think about that. So I think that might be the next, step.
Excellent. I think that sounds good. And I think that writing those ideas down, making sure you sort of have them, and then having an adult conversation with her and say, after she gets moved in, be like, we want to tackle the cellar. We want to get Steve's tools in order. We'd like to do it by this date. Can we start working together on the basement? And on that time thing too, that overwhelm, maybe once she gets into her own space, you start saying, can we do like one or two boxes a week? Can I, even just something small and say, and it's amazing how quickly even just tackling a couple of boxes a week or a box a day or something like that, that isn't so overwhelming and time consuming, can really start to make a dent in those spaces. So, maybe presenting it in that way, but I think that sounds great. And I would love to be able to follow up with you in a couple of months and see how things are going. Would you want to come back on and chat?
Oh, definitely. I'd love to. And it's really made me think, because I think it's so weird because I am just the complete opposite, because I've got a bit overzealous with getting rid of stuff, because we've moved house so many times in the last few years that it makes you, doesn't it? It makes you cull and it makes you get rid of things. So I think I've almost gone the other way, where I throw things away too readily. And then, I know we all do this, but I will literally throw something away and then a couple of days later be like, oh, I could really have used that. What did I do that for? It's almost like, and I think because I work from home as well, I think it bothers me more. I think there's probably an element with things like this as well, where I probably have to learn to detach a little bit and try and be a bit more patient and not let it bother me as such. But I think because I'm surrounded all the time, that sort of exacerbates the situation. And because of sort of my nature that is very much like, right, well, let's just get this blitzed. It's just complete opposites.
And I see that a lot. And a lot of what I see from my end is I'm working with the parents, because the kids are in your position and they know that everything that their parents have is going to fall to them in the future. Yes. And so I kind of work as that go between the two. So I think you are totally fine to own who you are. There is nothing wrong with sort of dabbling in minimalism, and we will slowly find a way for you and your mom to sort of work through this and for you to be able to enjoy your space and for her to be able to comfortably declutter those things so that you can enjoy your space, but she can get what she needs out of it. I think that we could definitely work on that.
Oh, Christy, you're a genius. Thank you.
You're so sweet. Thank you so much. And really quick, why don't you give the listeners a shout out about where they can find out more about you online?
Absolutely. So my website is hotcontent.co.uk. I work with podcasters, YouTubers and bloggers to help them publish, promote and repurpose their content. I'm on most of the social media channels. My favorite at the moment is Instagram, really. So I kind of share a mix of business and quite a lot of personal stuff on Instagram. So I think it's hotcontent.uk on most of the platforms.
All right. And so go check her out. And thank you so much for coming on and chatting with me today. I think this is such a relative topic for so many people out there, whether, like I said, they're dealing with their husband's stuff or their kids' stuff or their parents' stuff. You know, you've got to have some strategies out there. You've got to have a little bit of sympathy and empathy, but you also have to have a plan. And I think that we've given everybody out there a little bit of that. So thank you so much.
Thank you, Christy. Lovely to chat to you.
Did anything from our chat sound familiar to you in your home? Let's do a quick recap of my suggestions for Natalie. And remember, you can also get these in the show notes at podcast.simplesolutionsorganizing.com so you don't have to write it all down for yourself. First, create a deadline or a reason that you need the space to be cleared. Discuss this with the person because often having some sort of firm end date will help to motivate them to take action in the space. It doesn't necessarily have to be people are coming to visit or you're having a party. It can be something like I suggested to Natalie. Her husband, Steve, needs to have his workshop in order by the time the kids go back to school in the fall. There are three reasons I often see people struggle when dealing with clutter. First, they're emotionally attached to items because there's too many memories. There's financial attachment because they spent good money on something and they don't want to waste it because there's life left in it. Also, they can feel very overwhelmed by the amount of time they feel like it's going to take in order to clean up the space. If it seems like you're dealing with emotional clutter, try to start with the items that have the least amount of sentimental attachment at the beginning. So in Natalie's case, you wouldn't start with her grandmother's furniture because those are the hardest things for her mom. Maybe there are some boxes of clothing or some boxes of papers that would have less emotional attachment, and it's better to start there and build up their confidence with those things that are a little bit easier. When it comes to dealing with the financial aspects of clutter, try to find ways that these items you're discarding could be reused or repurposed. People are usually more willing to get rid of things that have life left in them if they know that they will be used. You can also look at the cost-benefit analysis of what it costs to store something. For instance, if you are going to need to rent a storage facility in order to keep these things, is it really worth the monthly rent to keep those things in that space if you're not really going to go get them? And when it comes to the time involved with dealing with other people's clutter, try breaking the project down into micro projects. Think of dealing with one drawer or one box or one bin at a time rather than looking at the project as a whole. I'm a professional organizer, and when I walk into a room that's full of things, even I can feel a little overwhelmed. So I know that it's really hard for someone that feels like they have to do all of this at once and do it alone. Baby steps every day, and you'll be amazed at how much progress you can make. And speaking of going at this clutter, using an organizing professional can help bridge the communication gap when you're dealing with other people's clutter. You might be saying the exact same thing to a loved one that a professional organizer would say, but coming from you, it could feel like an attack. If you feel like you're having a communication issue, it may be time to bring in a professional because their opinion is going to be seen as expert advice. As always, if you have any questions about today's episode or thoughts on how you would deal with other people's clutter, please leave me a comment in the show notes or shoot me a DM on Instagram. And if you have an organizing or simplifying question for your home, remember you can reach out just like Natalie did. Check out my show survey at help.simplesolutionsorganizing.com and you might just hear yourself on an upcoming episode of Cocktails and Containers. And don't forget to subscribe because I'm telling you guys, next week's episode is going to be so cool. To celebrate my 50th episode, I am giving you the 50 best tips for organizing. And these tips not only come from me, but from some of my favorite professional organizers all over the US and even outside the US. So you are not going to want to miss this episode. It is going to be super fun. So be sure to hit that subscribe button. And until next week, may all of your things be tidy and all of your cocktails be strong. Cheers!